The Arrowhead 135 is a winter ultramarathon along the Arrowhead State Snowmobile Trail. The 11th running was last week with 174 cyclists, skiers, and runners finishing. Joining us now in the studio are John Tweest and Adam Haryu, both of Cook County, two cycling finishers. Welcome to you both and congratulations.
Thank you. Good morning, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
This is quite a feat, 135 miles.
All one way.
So tell us about the event, the Arrowhead 135.
Yeah, so it's, you know, like you said, it's been going for 11 years, and people bike it, they ski it, they run, but it's more like walk, pulling sleds. I think those are the people that have like the hardest time finishing. Like the bikes, you know, we chose to bike because that's like the highest success rate. Yeah,
without a doubt.
And we like to bike,
right.
So that helps. Yeah.
So the what was your finishing time?
The finishing time was like 31 hours.
All right.
And that included any layover time that we took.
Now, I looked at the finishing time for the walkers or the runners and the skiers. That was a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, they have to carry like twice the food because it is self-supported. And so they are out on the trail for, you know, two nights generally.
So you chose to race this together. Talk about that.
We did. When Adam and I, we talked about this, you know, last year, we're like, hey, we should really look into this and try to do this ultra marathon event. It was like, well, you know, the whole goal here is just to finish. So we recruited three, myself, Adam, and Anton, and we were all going to apply, and Anton got his in late and ended up not getting selected. So then it was just Adam and I. And so we just went in with the mindset, hey, we just want to finish. Let's ride together. I never know what the weather's going to be like. It could be, you know, negative 60 wind chills like it was, or last year actually, and or it could be 30 plus, which it was this year. So it's just, you know, with a buddy system out there, and like you said, it's self-supported, it's just a lot safer. And that way you've also got somebody to talk to when you get into those dark times and it's hard and you don't want to go. You got somebody to pull you or push you or whatever it's going to take. It makes a big difference. It makes
you came across the finish line at the same time.
Yep, exactly.
Pretty close.
Yeah. All right, now you had to haul a lot of gear. Talk about the self-supported nature of the event.
Yeah, so, you know, the reason that they require a fair amount of gear, which includes like a minus 20 sleeping bag, a stove, a pot, fuel, a minimum amount of calories that you have to finish the race with, is because it is so remote. The Arrowhead State Trail, it kind of parallels roughly Highway 53, but you never really feel like you're close to civilization. And at any point in time, if you have a mechanical and it's cold, you know, you could get into that point where you're freezing really fast. So to be able to like bivouac on the side of the trail, which we saw plenty of people doing, is pretty valuable. It's just and necessary because if you're out there waiting for help, you'd probably freeze. Yep.
I would think moisture would be a big issue. So that if you stop and you're wet, you're going to get cold really fast.
Yes, absolutely. And we actually talked to a couple of guys who did it last year. And, you know, this year was tough, too, just because it was so warm, hard to layer properly. But last year, the same type of thing, especially in the middle part of the race, after the midway point to the next checkpoint, it's very hilly. It's a lot like the upper trail in Greenwood area. And so you're working really hard. And he said you get to the top of a hill after, you know, having to walk up it because it's just not rideable. And if you stop for any length of time, you were frozen. I mean, just instantly. And it was even that way on Tuesday for us, being 24 degrees and working hard, you could feel it start to set in real fast.
Now, the course actually goes from International Falls to?
Tower.
Tower. Okay.
Yeah, Fortune ends at Fortune Bay Casino.
That is remote. There's not a lot of houses along
there. No, there was one section that was like 20 miles straight of black spruce bog, which was pretty fantastic. But, mm-hmm. You know, you hear stories of other racers like talking to the tree people.
Right.
You know? And like, you know, if you like forget which way you came from, there's no reference as to which direction you should even be going.
Yeah. Now, the gear you were hauling, were you hauling that in packs or a pulk or how are you doing that?
We actually, we had saddlebags,
okay.
Or panniers.
Mm-hmm.
On the back with a rack. We also had frame bags that were custom made for our bikes. And then everybody runs pogies to protect their hands. I mean, there wasn't a racer out there that didn't have them on.
What's that now?
So what that is an insulated covering on your handlebars to keep your hands warm. And that obviously, if you can stop the wind and have a little insulation, it's going to help tremendously because, you know, that's going to take the brunt, and keeping all of your hands and your feet warm is, you know, for me, it was the most difficult challenge of the whole deal when we were preparing for this. So
Now, one question. So the gear for this, your main transportation is a bike. Now, this is a fat tire bike, which has gotten to be a big deal now.
Yeah. Yep. Fat tire bike, you know, 4+ inch tires. We changed our tire pressure throughout the race, depending on the snow conditions. Tire pressure is kind of like kick wax in Nordic skiing. If you're off just a little bit, you can have a miserable day.
Now, what did you do to prepare for the event? How did you build up for this?
Well, we just got off the couch and went, you know, I just said, what the heck, let's just do this. No, the reality was, when we knew we were going to potentially do this, we continued through the fall and doing our longer rides. And actually last fall we posted one of them. We did a 40+ mile ride on the fat bikes without any snow. And this was just to get used to the fat bike itself because it's, you know, they're rigid. And me, I'm personally used to riding suspension. So that makes a big difference. Then we got into November and it was cold, but no snow. So yeah, great, you can train for the cold, but there's no snow to condition the tires. And then we got into December, and it's 35 degrees and raining and foggy and really, really nasty snow conditions, which helped, but you're still not able to train for that extremely cold weather. So we got a couple of good rides in a couple weeks before the race, and we got some really cold weather and tested out layers and trying to figure out how to be able to sweat a little bit, but not a lot to where you're going to freeze. And that's, I think that's the hardest challenge about anything in the cold weather, whether it's skiing or walking or riding your bike is being able to layer properly and not freeze. And on a bike, especially when you've got that excessive wind chill, really plays a big part in it. So you're really looking at, you know, really good clothing. It really helps.
Okay. You didn't have any heavy snow during the race. Did you have snow to go through, though, or light snow? Or
yeah, the morning of the race, we woke up to about 3 inches of snow at the starting line, and then it got a little bit deeper as we went on. And there was generally a pretty well beat down path from the bikes in front of us that was about, you know, 8 to 10 inches wide. And if you got off of that, it got soft and squirrely, so it was really hard to eat and drink along the way and stay on that track. And then if a snowmobile came by or a groomer, then the snow conditions deteriorated really fast. And so you're all of a sudden you've got good hard pack, and then all of a sudden you're in 3 to 4 inches of just like mashed potato snow, which is a lot slower.
Now, was there a layover? Was there a place that you could go in and get warm someplace along the line besides a tent?
Yeah, there was. You know, there's three checkpoints along the way. The first one is Gateway, which is just a store. You're encouraged to, you know, buy some food there and get your water and stuff like that. But then the halfway point is Mel George's, which is a resort and has cabins. And then obviously there's the third checkpoint 40 miles away, and then it's just that last stretch. So
tell us about traveling at night, Adam.
It was pretty fun, you know, because we when we took off on the trail, a bunch of people had left in the couple hours previous to us. So we were kind of constantly like coming around a corner and seeing a flashing red light in front of us. And so that gave you that, like, you know, something to chase down. And that was pretty cool. Night travel is just always fun. Like, we do it a lot up here because it's dark a lot up here. But riding at night with lights, it's just a pretty special time to be out in the woods, for sure.
Now, what did you learn from this? Are you going to do it again? You're going to do similar races again?
I'm on the fence. I'll be completely honest. Not going to commit at this point. He might.
Yeah, no, I had a great time, and I'd do it again next weekend for sure.
Yep. So what's one thing that you learned from this that you could recommend to other bikers that are interested in doing some winter kind of biking? You were talking about clothing, something specific maybe that you learned from this.
Yeah, I think the big take home message for me was, you know, if something seems somewhat intimidating, whether it's doing a 10-mile ride up here or whatever, just buckle down and do it. And like, this is attainable for a lot of people, whether it's a 135-mile ride or a 50-mile ride or any kind of event. If you just put your mind to it and do the right amount of training, you can make it happen. Just get after it. Have fun. It's such a cool camaraderie out on the trail.
John, any other comments?
No, I agree with him 100%, you know, and the addition to having the fat bikes in the wintertime, it gives us another outlet and, you know, to enjoying the winter activities. And, you know, like you said, whether it's an ultra marathon or a 10-mile ride, what difference does it make? I mean, we've got the facility up here, the terrain, we got everything you could ever want or need. And like you said, just get after it, enjoy it, and just have fun out there.
And fat tire bikes in the winter seem to be kind of a exploding thing now in the
We've gone beyond fad. For sure. Yeah, it's for real now.
We're speaking with John Tweest and Adam Harrier, the two finishers in this year's Arrowhead 135. And as far as I'm concerned, you joined the list of folks that did kind of pretty heroic things this year. You know, the Freemans going to Washington State and Lonnie Dupre to the top of a mountain and Buck to the tip of South America. So you kind of joined my list of people that did kind of pretty heroic things this winter. Wow. So congratulations.
That was just
to both,
a bike ride, man.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, for most of us, we go more than a bike race. Okay, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.